Greetings, aliens. It is me, your one and only host, Miss Ella Sanchez of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly nobody asked for this podcast whatsoever, but I'm having a blast. I hope you are too. Wow. I'm gonna make this short and sweet, honestly, because I really have been going over my 30-minute mark on my episodes. I'm just trying to keep this short and sweet. Honestly, we're just gonna get right to it. But before I get into today's episode, I just want to say thank you for any love that you have given me on the podcast. If you have at all listened to me whatsoever, at any point, stream me whatsoever, even for like half a second, you were like, this bitch is too much. I get it. I understand. And I just want to say thank you anyways. But if you're new, hi, welcome. Thanks for becoming an alien, just like me, you, and everyone else listening here. I love you. You're great. I hope that you listen to everything else I have on my podcast. I have 4 seasons now, so I've been rambling a lot, quite a lot for some time now. I just discovered a couple days ago, like maybe a week ago, that my podcast is a year or something old, and I didn't even celebrate the year. I just straight up forgot. Classic me, classic Gemini behavior. It's because I'm recharging soon, you guys. The Gemini season's right around the corner. Like, I'm charging soon, so I feel the energy coming from within. So, but I'm rambling too much, but if you are returning, hi, how are you? I hope you are doing great. I hope you're being safe and sound. I hope that job interview went well. I hope that you got into that school. I hope that you got into grad school. I hope that you got that A on that test. I haven't even looked at Canvas this week, so I'm really in for a surprise. But regardless, you guys, let's just get into today's episode. You read the title. You may be like, whoa, I don't understand. Well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it together as aliens. Okay. I know aliens right now are probably like, girl, we are about to sue you. And I was like, I don't know if I can afford that, but it's fine. Anyways, I will see you on the other side, my fellow friends. Bye. And welcome back, my fellow aliens. Hi, how are we? So much to unpack today for this week's episode. So much is gonna happen. But all my notes that I have for today's episode are literally just 3 pages and opinion-based, so that's the mini disclaimer for today. But you read the title, you're probably like, what do you mean? So today's episode is going to be basically just like being loved versus understood, because they can coexist, but oftentimes they do not. So the inspiration for this episode, I actually just had a revelation this week of what the difference is between the two of being loved by someone, whether it's family, friends, a lover, whatever you want to call it, because it doesn't just apply to like relationships, like in dating and everything. It applies to like universal things. It's been a very hard week, I will not lie. Lots of trauma being relived, unfortunately, so wish I was kidding, but I'm not, so there's that. But enough about that. I'm not gonna get into my trauma. This isn't therapy. At least I should be in one, but every time I try, it just bounces back in my face, so maybe one day I'll heal. Maybe at the cost of $0, but you know, who's counting? Well, oh, my hands smell like lime. I just made dinner. Well, seasoned and put in oven kind of deal. So did I really make dinner? Nah, I think the oven did, but I still snap with the seasoning. So I could dedicate a whole episode to just seasonings and how you season food for you uncultured swine. So not today's episode though, but I had a revelation this week, just like reliving a lot of trauma. Unfortunately, I had to relive it to have this revelation, but hey, that's somewhat therapy. You have to relive it and learn something from it and what you're going to do about it. And hence I am making a podcast episode about it. So the trauma I was reliving is just not important, but it was just something that I collided with. Like, I thought I was very different compared to a family member of mine. Yeah, like I thought I was very different compared to a family member of mine in my immediate family. And turns out I had a revelation this week that it is not the case. Unfortunately, my friends, I did learn in therapy and I've been lying to myself ever since I was a child. Your childhood trauma does stick with you. And yes, as much as you try not to be your parents, you will become your parents at some point. Not in every aspect, of course, not to scare you, because it did scare me when my therapist told me that. And I saw traits of my family members in me, and I was like, oh, I don't really want this. There are some good traits and there are some bad traits, mostly bad on one particular parent, not gonna name who. If you heard last week's episode or the week prior to that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie to you, every time it's a new episode, I feel like the other one I uploaded was a lifetime ago when it was just straight up a week. But not the point. So I had that revelation and I was like, okay, wow, that's so interesting because that plays a big role in my life right now where I'm like, maybe we're not so different and that's okay? Question mark, you know? But regardless, it is something I thought I would share. I didn't like it's giving share. But I just had that revelation and I just thought I would share it with all of you. Maybe we can all learn something new together. We're in this together, my friends. So regardless, I'm just gonna go and my organizing of my notes in this is just defining what it is, defining what being loved versus understood means and then how they play together. From definition standpoint to breaking them down both and why they're both necessary in any type of relationship, let alone dating. I remember my mom told me quite recently, like maybe a couple months ago, she was like, human relationships are very hard, just complicated. They're so complex, they're so frustrating sometimes. And I'm like, yeah, I've learned, and as I've grown older, I cannot agree more in how much I really hate dealing with people. Especially people that are not in your immediate circle. Like going out and making new friends at some point in my life, I'm gonna have to do that. And I just don't find that appealing, to be honest with you. I find that very stressful. And I feel like the pandemic has made me worse because usually I used to be the social butterfly, you know? And now I just absolutely loathe. Like I have to do this thing tomorrow morning. And I absolutely loathe having to actually leave my home, go to downtown Los Angeles, and do something. I'm not really down. Like, I'm not really down for that. And let alone having a million other people in the same area. Yeah, no. But I'm gonna push through because that's what we all have to do, unfortunately. Hey, rhyme, bars. Okay, regardless. So, the definition of being loved, and these are gonna be very corny definitions because I wanted to find like actual dictionary definitions to get an idea, because we all know what it means to be loved, and it means something very different for everyone and every individual. My definition is going to be very different than yours that's listening. No shame in that. There's no wrong answer, really. But I just wanted to get like a broader definition of being loved, being understood, and the two of them together and versus each other. And so, what apparently the freedictionary.com has said to the definition of being loved is the first definition can be a strong feeling of affection and concern toward another person as that arising from kinship or close friendship, or two, a strong feeling of affection and concern for another person accompanied by sexual attraction. Wow. Y'all have sex. It's crazy. Ugh. Okay, anyways. Okay, who is honking? I am speaking. I will commit some sin right now in a bad way. Kidding. For legal purposes, that was a joke. But being loved, very, very broad definition. And also, I wanted to have it be a neutral definition because we all have different versions of being loved. That's like everyone's like love language or whatever, you know? I happen to be all five, you know? Just thought I would drop that in there. Very single. I am all five. But regardless, though, being loved is a very intense feeling. It's very scary, especially if you're being the lover, you know, you're being the one that loves someone or cares for someone. I would say love is the highest degree of caring. I would say that's like the utmost, like, oh yeah, that's like pure love. Like me, I love my friends very much, the few that I have left. the very few that I have left, the ones I can count on one hand that I have left, I would do anything for them, you know, to the best of my ability. If it means waking up early, maybe not that far, but actually, no, I can wake up early. I can do that now these days. But regardless, though, if you want me to travel past 30 minutes, I probably will say no, especially with these gas prices. You guys, I'm not leaving this house. Like, I refuse unless it is absolutely necessary or I have to do something. Me, instead of driving by car, why not I just travel somewhere? Seems like a less fun. Like, you want to go to lunch? Okay, bet. I'll be on the next flight out. Like, it's not my gas money, essentially. It's just my ticket that really costs that much. It still pitches in for emissions and stuff like that, but also significantly more, maybe. But I'm going somewhere new. It's the best part. That's the difference, you know? I don't want to have to drive. I went to get gas today, you guys. And I fell to the floor, crying down the wall, sliding down the gas pump, just sobbing, screaming, howling, just hitting the pavement. Like, why me? Why me? And when I tell you, I'm actually borrowing my sister's car because I don't have a car right now, technically. My sister's car is a 2008 Mercedes, right? And when I tell you, the gas finished pumping, right? I went to the cheapest one I could find. And let alone, behold, there wasn't any. I went to the gas station, to my nearest Argo, if you will, to the cheapest one I could find. I finished pumping and I had about a little tiny less than half a tank. Lately, I've been trying to keep it around that or fill it up at half a tank or slightly below the half line for my gas for this car that I'm using, for my sister's car. And when I tell you, it said about 10 liters of the gas tank, which I feel like is not the full gas tank itself of this vehicle because I filled it up at less than half a tank, very little. And when I tell you that total was $66, I fell to that floor just screaming on the inside. I was like, oh, that just hurt my soul. And I don't even have one. Okay, anyways, this is not about today's episode. But regardless, being loved is a very, very specific definition for people. Me right now, my type of love is Gavin Newsom giving us some gas cards. That's a good type of love. I would vote for him again just for that. Just saying. Like, that's pretty much it. That's all I would really go for. I'll be like, oh, you gave us gas cards? Damn, I really love you right now. Here's my vote. Very transactional. And also, love can be transactional, like I did. Like my last episode. Like, I just am remembering right now what my last episode was. Marriage is kind of a scam, low-key. But not up to me to decide that. But I don't know. There's, like, so many levels of love that you can go from loving someone immensely to, like, hating. Like, just having that whole spectrum is crazy because I have had moments where I really care about someone and then all of a sudden shit falls to the fucking pavement and you're like, oh, I want you out of my life, never seen, never spoken to, never thought of ever again. And I love doing that because it's just like a funny little story. It's like, oh, would have died. I would have gave you my kidney, man. And then a month later, the talking stage fails. You're like, never mind. Never mind. Actually, right now, the only thing I would give you is pain. Like, truly. But regardless, you guys. Love, I want everyone to, like, that's listening to this to have their own definition of what love and what loved is. Because it's easy to say we love this, we love that, we love this person, we love that person. But do you act upon that? Because I feel like love has become a very loose word and a very, like, random word to say that we just say, just to say it. But when you say that you love someone, depending on who it is, though, if it's a friend, obviously I mean it. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you really think about it, you're like, huh, do I really love this person? And then sometimes you're like, wait. Of course I do. And sometimes you're like, no, not really. Like, you have to take like a double take, you know, kind of just reflect on the people in your life. And you're like, do I really want them? Are they good for me? Are they a good person? Are they good for me? Do they benefit me in any way? And friendship shouldn't be seen as transactions. Neither should dating, honestly. But I feel like, actually, I'm going to use my sister as an example because she doesn't listen to this either. Sorry, sister. If you ever do listen to this, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But regardless, my sister had this friend. Actually, you know what? Maybe not go into like the tea. A long story short, friends, the lesson I learned from this situation I'm about to tell you that I was, no, I'm not going to tell you, but a situation I learned between my sister and her friendships, and she's a lot older than me. If you haven't listened to any of my episodes by now, hi, I have a sister that is 11 years older than me. So I'm 22, she is 32. When I'm 23, she'll be 33, if you can get that kind of vibe and the age difference between that. But my point is that she is like in her 30s, I get, you know, and you obviously, when you have friends in your 30s, you want them to be set up friends, like they're pretty solid in their ground right now. But my sister would be frustrated on people she would meet and friends she would invite into her life, and they would be like kind of just more complaining rather than being celebratory of their own lives and just bringing the house down for her. And she was just like, I don't really want this. I don't want to have to babysit someone. And I'm not going to lie to you, I will give her credit for that, because as I've gotten older, I don't really want to see my friends as my therapists. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you're having boyfriend trouble, girlfriend trouble, just partner trouble in general, or, you know, super personal, like, deep issues and problems that you're having, I feel like, yeah, you should be able to go to a friend out of love and be like, okay, yeah, I am really not in a great place right now. I just wanted to let you know if I'm acting off, if I'm acting weird, if I'm acting very down, that's why. I don't really want to talk about it. I already have a therapist, you know, having me do that. Because for me, I feel like talking about my trauma is more between me and my therapist kind of vibe. Like, I don't really see myself just going up to like friends of mine or new people I meet that are potential friends being like, yeah, this happened to me at this age. Like, yeah, this is, you know, like giving like just trauma dumping. I don't like to do those things anymore, at least. That's why I always keep my shit to myself, because I don't really feel like I need to bring someone else's day down, especially a friend that I love and care for. Like, just tell me about, you know, the coffee you tried for the first time. Tell me about the Skims you bought from Kim K. Tell me about, like, what happened today that made you happy. Like, I feel like those are more friendship-based levels, like, and I'm gonna care because I love you and you love me. I don't really need to go into the trauma dumping area. Like, maybe I can briefly mention it, but for me, I just don't feel like I need to do that. I feel like that's annoying. I feel like that's frustrating. Because for me, I know it sounds selfish, but I don't want somebody trauma dumping on me their problems when I can barely get through the day. Like, truly, I'm already struggling for my life every day because of the trauma I have to relive daily. So I'm not really into that. I'm sorry, respectfully. I just don't want someone to tell me their whole life trauma and what's going on in their life and their issues right now. It's like, oh yeah, this isn't happening, this isn't happening. I'm like, relax. Take a fucking breath. And me, when I am having a really, really, really bad mental health day, or it's a really hard day for me, I straight up just don't text people back. I don't care if it's the end of the world for you. I'm gonna put myself first. I'm sorry. Or else, if I don't put myself first, if I don't love myself enough to heal for like the day, just make myself a dinner, just be in hiding, just away from like Twitter, Instagram, whatever it is, to heal myself, and then wake up the next day, be like, okay, I'm fine, let's just get through the day. Then I'm gonna be upset the whole rest of the week. I'm gonna take it out. I'm gonna drag it and drag it on for as long as I can, because I haven't done the proper self-care to recharge myself, if that makes sense. Because that's a form of self-love I will give myself, because if I do not give myself that dedication, you come at me with like trauma dumping, trauma issues, or just anything in general that's happening in your life, I'm probably gonna be very obvious that I don't care, and that's not what I want to do. I want to take the time for myself to recharge, be like, okay, new day tomorrow, let's get fucking through it, you're gonna be fine. Whoa, mid burp, Jesus, oh my god, I'm not gonna burp, you guys, oh my god. Okay, wow, that was really sudden. Sorry. But if I don't love myself enough to take myself out of the equation in order for me to heal, in order for me to get better, in order for me to just be able to go through the next day like ready to go, even if I went through hell the night before or went through hell the day before, I'm gonna drag on and like be very obvious in my moods and texts and FaceTimes or whatever that I'm not in the mood to talk or in the mood to be happy or whatever. And I don't want to have that. I don't want to bring that energy to my friends either. I love them too much to not do that, if that makes sense. So my point is that that is what love is for me. Leaving me alone for as long as possible. But no one understands why, if that makes sense. Like, you can love someone but not understand them. And people really fail to understand that concept. Funny, pun intended. But I'm going to move on to like the concept of understanding someone. And I'm going to quote it from MaximilianDictionary.com. Oh my god, this is so corny. But I'm going to get into like what they mean. So being understood according to MaximilianDictionary.com is to be agreed without having to be discussed. Be understood that, and then an example would be, I thought it was understood that you were going to help. So, I feel like I understand people more than I do love people, if that makes sense. So, for example, like, if I meet someone, like a friend, a new friend in my life, and we went through very similar traumas, and like, we get to that level of like, okay, I can share the shit I've been through with you. And then they give me their side and their input and what they've been through. And I'm like, holy shit, you went through the same thing as me or very similar. Then you would know how it feels to be on that side of that spectrum. Or if someone, let's say you lost your family or a parent, if you will, and then a couple months later, a friend of yours loses their other parent. It's like you guys have a mutual understanding. You may grieve differently, but you understand the pain of losing a parent that absolutely was unexpected, unfair, and also very just painful. There are people right now that are losing their loved ones, not just today, but are still healing and trying to be understanding about the situation. Because truthfully, let's be honest, I actually was watching the Euphoria special episode with Rue and Ali. If you haven't seen Euphoria, bitch, where have you been? But if you have seen the special episodes, and I might I add, fucking phenomenal acting on both Hunter Schafer and Zendaya on those two special episodes. Because the special episode with Zendaya and Ali, I don't know his acting name. I'm so sorry. It's very disrespectful. I'm very ashamed. But just that acting was phenomenal. I promise, like, this episode has a connection. So, like, using that losing a parent example, because if you haven't seen Euphoria, basically, spoiler, Zendaya's dad dies of cancer, or Rue's dad dies of cancer as her character. And she, like, Rue as Zendaya, or Zendaya as Rue, essentially, she is telling her sponsor Ali that, if you didn't know, Rue's a drug addict. Like, if you don't know where that is, then you really haven't seen Euphoria. But Rue is telling Ali, her sponsor, like, I don't really believe in a higher power. I don't really believe in God, essentially, because why did my dad die? Why? He was a good person. He never did anything wrong. He was a person. He was a father to me. Our relationship was father and daughter. He was a husband. He was a father to me and my sister. I don't believe in that higher power stuff because I lost someone for no reason. There was no justification for me to leave. For him to leave, to be off this earth. There was no justification of my dad dying. And then Ali replies and is like, you know, you're right. There are just some things that don't make sense. And there are going to be moments in life where nothing makes sense. Nothing is fair. And I wish I could give you an answer as to why that made sense. Of why, trying to make sense of why a parent of yours dies. Or why something terrible happens to you or someone you love. And the answer will remain unknown for life. And are we okay with that as a society? No. But what gets us through those hard times is being understood. That's what gets you through the hardest of times in life. if you meet someone, let's say if we're going to take Rue's example of, you know, the character Rue Bennett as a drug addict, she goes to her meeting, she goes to her AA meet, or I think the, yeah, her drug support meetings, because she meets other addicts like her, if not probably have been through way worse, have seen way worse, have lost way worse and way more. And I mean, did it help Rue? No, essentially, but she essentially hits rock bottom. And then towards the very last three or two episodes, she realizes that she has hit rock bottom. And she's like, okay, that's fucking it. I've already seen what hell is, and I'm done. And the only person that understands her is Ali. Ali did some really terrible shit. If you go and watch that special episode on HBO Max with Zendaya and Ali, I need to find that actor's name. I feel very rude to not know his name, because he was a fucking phenomenal actor and still is on Euphoria as Ali and Rue's sponsor. But truly, and I also didn't have planned to talk about Euphoria in this episode, so but that's an example that came to mind. Like, they understand one another, therefore Rue, once she hits rock bottom, she sees that, like, okay, I was rude. I disrespected my own fucking sponsor that only wants to help me. Like, if you haven't seen Euphoria, babe, there was a couple episodes where Rue, she is on her fucking fever dream. She is having the worst withdrawals of all time. And she goes and disrespects Ali in the most horrific way. Like, I don't know, just their exchange made me feel, like, so eerie. Because, like, the acting is so good. It feels like it's, like, I'm literally just watching as a bystander of what's going on in this, in their argument in one episode. And I'm like, holy shit, wow. I feel, like, very uneasy. I feel like I wasn't meant to see that kind of deal. But it was really painful as just even a viewer. I was just like, oh, my God, I can feel both of their pains in this. But I digress, you know, but it was just like something that they were going back and forth at each other, being rude to one another, when all he wants to do is just help Rue get better. Like, that's all he wants. He's like, I just want to do some good in the world before I'm out. And I'm like, you know what, that's fair, and I respect that. And the reason why being understood and being loved are not the same is because Rue has done terrible things to Ali. She has been disrespectful. She has been like, just like, if you're gonna hit me, kind of that energy. And she lies to him. And he can see right through it, by the way. He's not fucking stupid either. And maybe he doesn't love her at all, really. He just wants to see her get better because he's been in that position before. He was a drug addict as well. He's done terrible things. He wants to make amends with himself and with other people to do some good in the world, like he ends up quoting himself. That's what being understood is. Does he love Rue? We don't know. We don't know. At least we don't know in this time after season two. We don't know what's going to happen. But he does it because he understands. He has human... This is like, being understood is just empathy for others. If I saw... Like, every time I watch... I'm rewatching Jane the Virgin, by the way. I'm rewatching it because I don't remember a lot of it. I just remember who Jane ends up with. Like, I just remember who she ends up with, but I don't remember the details. I don't remember how long it's been, you know? I don't remember how Jane ends up picking Raphael, basically. I remember some itty bitty pieces because I saw it in high school or towards the very early times in college. And I just don't remember. And I remember it was a really good show. And I was like, you know what? It's still on Netflix. I'm just going to rewatch it. And bitch, is it good? Oh my God, it's so good. And it's such an interesting plot, you guys. It's phenomenal. But every time I watch the show, there's always some like sentimental moments between Jane and her mother, Yomara, and her abuela. Like, it's just like such a very similar dynamic. Like, me, I don't have an abuela technically. They passed before I could meet them, which is kind of sad, but also, like, I'm okay. I've made my peace with it. It's not a big deal for me. But I have been in that environment where, like, I'm with my family and, like, they go through some hard times and, like, I empathize with them. Or I meet people that are in similar situations as me. Like, me, it's just me and my mom and my sister, you know. We're the only ones that matter in this situation. Like, the only thing that I care about in this life are mis primos, mis tios, like, all that. And then also my mom and my sister. Those are the only people in my life that I would lay my life down for when it comes to family aspect. And they don't all understand me. Of course they don't. I haven't, like, when I went to visit my family in Miami for the Christmas season of 2021, I hadn't seen them, mind you, since maybe 2015, 2016. Maybe. It's been a long time. So for me to go back, it was scary. I was scared because, like, they don't understand me. But they love me enough to know that, like, okay, this is the hija de tia Concha, whatever, like, they know who I am. They know my relation to my mom and my other, you know, primos and everything. They love me, but they don't understand me because it's been a very long time and I'm not expecting them to either. They don't owe me that. It's been a very long time. I don't know anything about their lives. I love them, but I don't know anything about them. I don't know what they did the day before. I don't know what they've been doing for the past, like, 4 months. I don't know. I've been very lost. I don't know. But do I still love them enough to, to want to understand their new lives? Of course. But I do it because I can't say I understand and know them. Because to understand someone is, that means you know them very well. That means you know them and you empathize with them. But I don't know. I don't know what they've been through. And they may have been through horrible, horrible, dark times. And I don't even know that. And I don't expect to either. They don't have to tell me. They don't owe me that. I just love them because they're my family. And they've given me such beautiful memories and beautiful moments and have welcomed me with their open arms from day one since I moved to Miami for the first time ever to keeping in contact with my mom, my sister, and to this day, still think about me, even when I'm not there. That's love, yo. And they don't understand me. They don't know what my new interests are. They don't know what I like and don't like anymore, you know? Like, it's been a really long time, but they love me enough to still welcome me in their arms and my family into their arms and their houses and with love and welcome. Like, hey, I know it's been a long time, but I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're being with us again after so long. It's been long overdue. You have to come back more. And that's what love is to me. That's what it is. Even after time apart, you love them enough to want to know more about their lives. Does that mean I can say I understand them? Absolutely not. I don't know what they've been through. I don't know if they've had good times more than bad times, or if they've had bad times more than good times in the past few months or the past few years. I haven't seen them. I can't walk up to them and be like, oh my god, so how are you and your boyfriend? Like, are you guys okay? I heard he's like, I can't do that, you know? I can't pretend to understand. I can't pretend to know who they are. But what I can do is love them enough to hear what they have to say. Simple. You know what I mean? Because that's the difference between love and understanding. There is a difference. And they both need to exist in order for any successful friendship, relationship, bond with any person in general. How many times? I want all of you right now to think of a TV show, a movie scene, or a real life example of a time the cliche plot in cinematography in movies or in TV shows of how many times have you seen the main character, because this actually happens in a lot of TV shows and it also happened in Jane the Virgin. Okay, so Miss Jane, I'm gonna take Jane the Virgin as an example. Miss Jane, if you haven't seen the show, I'm not gonna tell you into detail. It's too much for me to even cover. But Miss Jane Villanueva, if you will, she is trying to become a writer and she's in grad school to become a writer now. And she is about to, she gets introduced in one episode, or she's about to introduce herself to a very famous, very, you know, iconic writer that she admires in the college world. And she's a professor, she's a doctor, whatever you want to call her. And she makes a bad impression, classic. She spills some wine on her, she spills some food on her, classic TV show or movie scene, or even real life. I have not seen that show or scene type of plot in real life in front of me, but I have seen the classic spill the wine on her. Oh no, she fell in the pond because it was me. Whatever kind of deal. You know what I'm talking about. Sorry, if you don't, then you haven't seen anything in this life. So, essentially, Miss Jane, she makes a bad first impression with this doctor that she's really interested in. And then she goes to her office to leave a note saying, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to spill eggs or wine on you, but this is why, whatever. I was wondering if you can read my manuscript or whatever. And then as she's dropping off the letter and she left it in her purse. So the water she kept in her purse and the letter got smeared. So she's looking for a pen to rewrite the letter. And then the doctor comes in, Ms. Bolton, I believe, Dr. Bolton. And she's like, oh my God, what are you doing in my office? How dare you? Whatever. And then essentially they have a moment of that Miss Bolton is nursing and so is Jane. Or she was. And she's like, oh, I have the same nursing bag as you. I just finished nursing like a day ago. That's why I've been drinking a lot. Because, you know, I haven't been able to drink, and that's why I spilled the eggs on you and the wine and all that. I'm so sorry. And that's the moment where they ravel together as friends. That is what I'm going to take as the example, right? That's an example of understanding someone. At first, you wanted to make a good impression, but you couldn't. You failed, whatever. And then you have something in common, like Ms. Bolton and Jane. Hello, they were both nursing in this hypothetical situation. And then they have a moment, they connect. That's how they finally are on good terms with one another. Miss Bolton's not mad at her anymore. That is understanding someone. That is empathizing. That is giving advice, input, help with someone. Whereas love, on the other hand, very different thing. Love is a much deeper feeling. So the difference between the two, because you're probably thinking and you're listening to this like, girl, I don't understand this concept. It doesn't make sense. I don't get it. They're the same thing. No, they're not. So let me explain. And I'm going to explain with Elite Daily, a lovely blog. So according to Elite Daily, the blog, and someone just breaks it down in a better way than I can or any other dictionary can. So according to Elite Daily, it's understanding the process the person goes through. It's basically knowing the way he or she or they thinks and why he, she, or they thinks that way. You can understand someone without loving him, her, or they, but when you understand and love a person, it's because you can relate to that person in some way. It is the connection that we feel with people that we have loved for an extended period of time. Time is necessary in understanding and loving an individual. Now, you may be thinking, I don't know what that means. And that's okay. That's okay. But there is a difference between loving someone and understanding someone. Like I've said, understanding someone is empathizing. And you create a connection of a similar experience that you've been through together. And then you grow to love them eventually at some point. If it's a partner, a future partner, or maybe you just love them as a friend, or maybe you create a new bond with someone at work or someone that you trust. Loving someone is feeling sexual attraction to them as well, but also getting to know them. Getting to know the nitty-gritty details about them and how they operate as people. You can even use the example rags to riches story. Partner one can be rags to riches. Partner two can be riches to rags. You guys will probably bump into each other very often. But there are classic love stories of people that have two different experiences, polar opposite experiences, and they end up loving each other. Will they ever understand each other? Maybe not. And there's no shame in that either. There really isn't. People have successful marriages like that, having polar opposites. But sometimes it's not always the case, you know? Most of the time it's not. But hey, there are people that make it work. So essentially, can you love and understand someone at the same time? Yes. But basically, You have to love and understand someone by understanding their experiences and if you guys share a similar experience. I know you might disagree, all right? I know you might disagree with me, but I did not have this revelation in this past week over the reliving of trauma for nothing, okay? It has come to my head. It has come to my attention, a big wake-up call. Loving and understanding someone, very different things. They are. They are. Whether you want to agree with me or not, that's just how it is. And can you love someone and understand them? Yes. That's a very common example too. But you can love someone and not understand them. And you can understand someone, but you don't have to love them necessarily. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just depending on what an individual wants. Do they want to be loved, but is being understood not such an important, obvious deal? Or is being understood rather than loved more important? Because for me, personally, I need to be understood. I need someone to understand my mind because I fucking wish I could understand. Essentially, I want to date a therapist. But my point is that you understand someone when you have a shared type of experience, like I mentioned, and then you love someone for who they are and their traits, whether they're loving, they're caring, they're thoughtful, etc. That's the difference between the two. You love someone because of their traits. You understand someone over a type and similar experience you have shared or have empathy over because you've been in that same position before. That's the difference between the two. So you understand someone of a shared experience, a similar empathic. Oh my God, you're an empath. No, I'm kidding. But regardless, my point still stands, you know. And the essential question resolves is, why love and understanding both need to happen at once? Like I said, do people have successful marriages without having being from two different worlds, but they come together and love each other enough? Of course. That's quite common, actually. That's a very common thing as well. Polar opposites, but they fall in love and they're great. How many people do you know that have not had successful marriages because there was not enough love? Or vice versa. There's that. Because for me personally, and I'll end with this, me personally, I need to be loved and understood at the same time. I feel like that's a very common thing that we all wish for, but I feel like as we meet new people, I feel like it's always more one than the other. Like, you love someone enough, but you don't understand them. But they understand you and you don't love them enough. Kind of, it's very back and forth. I really hope this episode makes sense. But for me, I want to be loved and understood because I want someone to love and understand that I can't be up and at it all the time. I need rest. Even though I try super hard in my life to not give myself that, which I know is very frowned upon in this society. I know everyone's like, mental health. And I'm just like, my mental health will not continue if I take that time off unless it's like really bad. Like unless I'm like not even able to get out of bed, then yeah, I will acknowledge it. But I want someone to love and understand that, yes, I have depression. I have a form of social anxiety sometimes, especially when I meet new people. It's a very common thing. And that I have had it for years. And unfortunately, it's going to be with me the rest of my life. Unfortunately. I have had moments where I'm happy fully, and then the next day I'm just torn apart. I'm shredded. And that's what depression is like, bro. It's like there's so many highs and lows. It's like you can't even keep fucking track. And I want someone to love me enough to love me through those times where I'm like devastated. I'm like so shattered. I'm like depressed. I am not in the mood to do anything. And to understand that it will not be the whole day. It will not even be for a week. I will get myself up. I will manage to. I don't need someone to help me come up. I need to be alone. I need to be isolated. I need to be left alone for a while, maybe the whole day. And then the next day I will come out of it like, okay, I'm okay. I've already reflected. I feel a lot better. And if I don't, I will take that time. That's just how I operate. I know a lot of people like don't prefer that method, unfortunately, especially when you're dating someone. That's definitely not the best method, but unfortunately, that's my only method. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to have to tell you that I'm sad and depressed and you see me that way. No, no. We don't act depressed in this house. I will never show anyone my vulnerability like that. Sorry. I will show other forms of vulnerability. I can be vulnerable. I can. It just depends on who. And if I'm in that safe realm, because crying in front of someone is embarrassing for me. I'm sorry. I've done it and I feel embarrassed every single time. I feel so embarrassed. I'm like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. Why am I like this? You know? But, and I want someone to love and understand my need for independency. If you want to spend 3,000 years together on a couch every week, I probably will like that, but also at the same time, if I want to go out, don't prevent me from that. Fuck you if you do that. Fuck you if you're that type of person. Not even just a man. Any type of partner that does that. Because I swear to God, you're not the right type of person. You're sick. And I want someone to love and understand my dislike for cooking sometimes. Because for me, I only like to cook if someone's helping me. That's it. That's really essentially how I operate. Like, my mom and I, we're like a team. Like, today, before I started recording, we're making salmon tonight. So I seasoned and I put in the oven the salmon. My mom did the rice. Boom. We're done. That's dinner. Like, I cannot marry or be with someone that only sees it as my job as a woman. Or to essentially have me do everything. Like, I don't plan. I'm sorry. I do enjoy the thought of getting married, but I do not plan to have people over at my house and cook for everyone. I'm sorry. That's just not who I am. I will order catering. I want to be the type of person that has enough funds and money to order the best food for everyone and consider everyone's like allergies and food interests and dislikes, you know. Because I can cook whatever I want. I can make pasta. I can make Peruvian food, whatever. But maybe there's going to be someone's like, oh, I'm lactose intolerant. Or there's going to be that one person that's going to be like, oh my God, I don't eat gluten. Fuck you guys, okay? I want to have someone else take care of that for me. I can just call a catering company or a catering restaurant of my liking and be like, hey, can you not add gluten? Do you have vegan options? Like, that's what I mean. I can make a mean vegan meal. I can make probably 5 dishes if I wanted to that are all vegan. But not everyone likes vegan food. Then you order other types of food. That, for me, I just want to have the funds to just press a button or call someone and be like, hey, can I place an order for this? It's going to be how much? Cool. Here's my card. I want to have family gatherings, but I don't want to do the family cooking, if that makes sense. Like, for real, I'm sorry. I would love to do it out of love. I would, but I don't have that patience nor that time. Nor not enough ollas, if that makes sense. I don't have enough sartens. I don't have enough ollas. I don't have enough, like, platos. Like, I don't have enough of that stuff. I'm sorry. I don't want to have to go out and buy 20 different kinds of ollas, sartens, platos, or whatever. Just for me to do it only once a month or something. You know what I mean? I do want to host a family brunch, though. That's my dream as a person. As a future wife, if that makes sense. That's like my cheesy, lovey-dovey, like, dream. It's like, I want to have, like, brunch every Sunday. And it's my time. Like, I don't want any other bitches in my friend group or any of my other cousins to be like, oh, I'm hosting brunch on Sunday. No, 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 bitch. I want to be the one that hosts it, okay? And I want to have a partner that loves and understands me enough to know I need it to be me. I want to be Joan Clayton in this episode, in this moment. No one else. Because if you don't know Joan Clayton from Girlfriends, she's basically the hoster. She's the partier. She hosts every party. She hosts games. She hosts game nights and stuff like that. And basically, anytime any of her other friends get houses or apartments or they want to do a family gathering or something, she's like, actually, that's offensive because it's always been at my house. That's how I want to feel about my Sunday brunches in the future. You're not allowed to go to brunch on a restaurant. No. I will cater a lovely restaurant of your choice, of our favorites, and you will sit there in my home and we will eat it together as a family. That is my dream. I may not have children, but I will have girlfriends and primos, okay? We are doing it. We are going to sit down with our childless friendships and families and we are going to eat Sunday brunch that I ordered. That is the dream. And I want my future husband or future partner to understand and love me enough to go through with me and be like, yeah, I understand why. I understand you want to be Joan Clayton here. That's love, bro. That's love. So I conclude. Thank you for listening. I really went passionate on that brunch thing. I'm very passionate about brunch. But I hope this episode makes sense. I hope that people understand what I'm trying to say. And if you don't, I tried my best. But I love you all very much, my fellow aliens. I hope that you are being safe and sound and taking care of yourselves, whether it be mental health or COVID, whatever it may be, or both. But anyways, I will see you on the next episode on next Sunday. I love you all very much, and peace, love, and blessings. Bye.